welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have a visit with a couple who came from vaudeville into early radio and remained popular in television until Gracie's retirement in 1958. Burns and Allen began in radio with a vaudeville-style variety format, and then in 1942 switched to a sitcom show. During the first years of their run, they had two publicity stunts that got the whole country talking. The first was the hunt for Gracie's brother in the 1930s, and then in 1940, Gracie decided to run for president on the surprise party. This episode is very amusing, with Gracie in the middle of her presidential run. Burns and Allen first broadcast March 13th, 1940 on CBS.
Hello, my friends, the Heinz Honey and Almond Cream program.
Vote for Gracie! Vote for Gracie! Vote for Gracie! Vote for Gracie! Vote for Gracie!
Starring George Burns and Gracie Allen with Frank Parker, Ray Noble and his orchestra, and Truman Bradley speaking.
400 million songs, and try to get a vote. Vote for Gracie! Keep voting all day.
Presenting our presidential candidate who just flew back from Washington, where she was the honored guest at the Women's National Press Club's annual dinner, Heinz Honey, Gracie Allen.
Thank you very much.
And now presenting our partner who just got back from the opening of a meat market, George Burns.
Thank you, my friend, and you are my friend.
Oh, he is not. It's your brother Willie.
I noticed that suit looked familiar. Say, Gracie, we're all dying to know what happened in Washington.
Well, it's a long story, so I'll tell it.
Good.
Now, I met Mrs. Dewey, Mrs. Vandenberg, Mrs. Burton Wheeler, Mrs. Bennett Champ Clark, and I met, what's her name now? Oh, my nurse.
Was she up in Washington?
Yeah, in the big White House.
Mrs. Roosevelt?
Yes.
I thought so,
Oh, George, you should have been at that dinner.
What would I be doing there?
Well, all the wives of the other candidates were there.
Well, I didn't have what to wear.
You mean you had to stay home and watch the children?
Quiet. Gracie, you spoke at this banquet in Washington. What happened?
Yeah, tell us the details, Gracie.
Well, I got on the plane at Burbank.
Yes.
Oh, and what a plane. The cutest pilot you ever saw in your life.
Gracie, the banquet.
Oh, I'm coming to that.
Oh.
He had blue eyes and brown shoes.
Nice combination.
Yeah, weren't we?
Yes.
Say, Gracie, it was pretty cloudy that day. How was the visibility?
Oh, pretty fair. I was sitting on his lap, but he could see over my shoulder.
Gracie, the banquet.
I'm coming to that. Mm.
Say, George, if Gracie is elected, what are you going to do?
You think you're kidding, huh? I'm beginning to worry, too.
Well, don't worry. You can always write a column, and I can correct the spelling.
Oh. Thanks, kid.
Oh, and George, what a thrill I got. There we were flying 10,000 feet over the Grand Canyon, and the pilot let go of the controls and put both arms around me.
Did he start falling?
Oh, you threatened. And I fell for him, too.
Gracie, did you ever get to Washington?
Well, where do you think I made that speech?
Speech?
Yeah.
What speech?
At the banquet.
Well, what did you say?
Well, coming to that.
Oh, come to it.
And we flew over Texas. Freddie the pilot, you know, he's the pilot.
Yes, so I know.
Well, he had a little trouble. Mm. He stuck his left hand out to make a left-hand turn and got it caught in the propeller.
Did he ever stick his right hand out?
Yeah, and Mr. Garner shook it for 20 minutes.
Well, that's fine.
And then, George, why is it that I always get dizzy when I'm up in a plane?
Well, Ray, it's the altitude that affects you.
Well, then why is it I'm dizzy when I'm not in a plane?
Maybe you were born that way.
Maybe you're right, old man. I know I was born.
Well, that's something.
Look, I remember the stork made 7 trips with me.
7 trips?
Yes, my parents kept rejecting me.
Well, they shouldn't have given up so easily in Cheerio.
Oh, Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Oh, George, isn't that right, silly? Mm. You talk about one thing and he talks about something else.
But you're all right,
yes.
Huh?
Yes.
How about the speech?
Well, I didn't make that until I got to Washington.
Well, please get to Washington.
Coming to that. Mm. So the plane was going about 150 miles an hour, and we were flying upside down, and
wait
I said to Freddie...
Wait a minute. You were flying upside down?
Well, it was raining, and I didn't want to get my hat wet.
Well, college coin, a $10 hat, and a $90,000 plane.
So I said to Freddy, that's the pilot.
I know that's the pilot.
I said to him, I said, stop at the World's Fair for a second, and we landed in front of the Hall of Mirrors.
You stopped in front of the Hall of Mirrors?
Yes, my nose was shining.
Oh, nuts.
So then we took off again and finally landed in Washington.
And you said goodbye to Freddy.
Yeah, but by that time we were engaged.
Well, did he give you a ring?
No, he couldn't afford a ring, so he gave me the plane.
Well, wear it in good health.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
And when I got off the plane, there were a lot of photographers there.
What happened?
Well, I took their pictures.
What about the newspaper men?
I interviewed them, too.
Hmm. Did they ask you anything?
Did they? They kept firing questions a mile a minute.
Well, what do they want to know?
Whether Myrna Law has really got red hair.
And did you tell them that Heather Lamar has a 20-foot pencil on her?
Yeah, and they couldn't get over it.
Lots of things I can't get over, too.
Say, George, when Gracie goes to Washington and you're off the radio, don't worry.
Who's worried?
Well, stop biting your nails and I'll tell you.
They're not my nails.
No.
No.
And they're not even his teeth.
No. Quiet. I had to open my mouth.
I say, George, when Gracie's elected, you'll be the first gentleman of the land.
Well, you don't know what that means to me.
And, George, as Postmaster General, I'll be glad to give you a job.
Thanks.
Why, you're practically one of the family. I'll make you a letter carrier.
A letter carrier?
Yes, brother, when she's present, you'll be left holding the bag.
Yeah, I can always get a job. I could try and...
Hey, Frank, what does a letter carrier pay?
Oh, $1,800 a year and all the stamps you can eat.
Oh, goody, a thing like that, Frank, will stick to a man's ribs?
Say, Gracie, you went to Washington and met Mrs. Roosevelt and other important people. We're all dying to hear about it.
Oh, I told you that. So after we left the airport, I got into an official car and rode down Pennsylvania Avenue. And I was greeted by a man in a beautiful white uniform.
So?
So I bought a good humor from him and
you
I kept bowing.
You bought a good humor?
And yes, and I kept bowing and smiling to all the people. And the Republicans kept throwing confetti out of the window.
Well, that's nice.
And the Democrats kept throwing it back.
Well. They wanted to keep a street clean.
Yes.
Oh, George, a street cleaner job pays $1,300 a year.
Will you go away? Yes. Will you go?
You know, Gracie, I wish I was with you in Washington last week.
Oh, so do I.
Must have been touring. I'd have given anything to be there.
Really?
Oh, rather. I love good humor.
Gracie, did you ever arrive in Washington?
Oh, I certainly did. I finally got to the Willard Hotel where the banquet was being held. And who do you think I met at the door?
Who?
The Secretary of the Interior.
Secretary of the Interior?
Yes, and we had a couple of x-ray pictures taken together.
Well, I hope you remember to smile. And here's Tony Bradley, who will show you how to beat a certain skin game. Take it, through.
Wash day is certainly hard on your hands. Harsh cleansers and hard water and raw wind when you're hanging things on the line certainly do make your skin look red and checked. So for real comfort, keep a bottle of Heinz Honey and Almond Cream near the laundry tubs.
Oh, Truman, you don't have to sell me on Heinz Honey and Almond Cream. Remember, I'm Heinz Honey.
Thank you, Gracie.
Oh, I use it all the time on my strawberries.
Come on,
Gracie. Smooth Heinz all over your hands, arms, and wrists before you start and the minute you finish washing. Right away, good creamy Heinz soothes your tender skin. Heinz is really the quick comfort lotion. Extra creamy, extra softening, and it contains two vitamins, A and D. Every creamy drop of Heinz helps ease away that rough, sandpapery look, coaxes back a smoother, more comfortable feeling to your hands. You can get Heinz Honey and Almond Cream at any toilet goods counter. The big dollar size is economical for family use, while the 10, 25, or 50-cent size is handy for your laundry shelf. Remember Heinz, H-I-N-D-S, and use it faithfully for softer, prettier hands. Now, Frank Parker.
Thanks, Crew. Tonight I'm singing a song written by Harry Warren, a young chap who's made it a habit to write hits. Beautiful ballad entitled Summer Night.
candlelight, harmonize. Oh, how I envy you. Why am I so jealous of the moon? Jealous of a summer night in June. Why can they remain beside my darling while I must leave so soon? Summer night, you arrive. You come in a window when the day.
That was grand.
You're just saying that because you think I'm wonderful.
Well, Frank, you are wonderful.
Let's go steady.
Oh, go away.
Isn't Frank pocket cute?
Yes, it's a little green boat.
You know, he'll be the first postmaster general with mail pouches under his eyes.
Well, never mind this, Fork. When you got to Washington, did you make a speech, and what did you say?
Yes, Gracie, get to the point, will you?
Oh, the speech.
Yes.
Well, I was sitting on the dais in this big banquet hall, and when Mrs. Rostock got through speaking...
Gracie, did you meet a lot of people?
Oh, everybody. And when she got...
Did you shake hands with them?
Well, certainly. And when she
could
got...
you tell which ones used hands, honey, and almond cream?
Oh, sure. All of them had lovely hands.
Truman, I finally got Gracie where she's telling about her speech, and you're interrupting her.
Well, what are you getting excited about, George? How long did it take? I'm not talking about the dollar size. I'm only talking about the 10-cent bottle.
Oh, well, that's different. Gracie, what happened after Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt's speech?
Well... they kept applauding and applauding and applauding, and there was nothing I could do but get up and talk.
What? They were applauding for her, so you got up and spoke?
Oh, sure. It was one of the biggest moments of my life. Well, if I hadn't been there myself, I wouldn't have believed it. Imagine me in Washington when the most important women in the country were gathered. There they were, hanging on to every word I said, and me trying to hang on to my salad. Oh, oh, what a night. I'll never forget it. Why, it was wonderful. Just picture it. This is exactly what they said.
Wasn't Eleanor Roosevelt charming as she made her speech?
It's simply wonderful and so down to earth.
Look, Gracie Allen's getting up to make a speech.
Madam Chairman, members of the Women's National Press Club, Mrs. Roosevelt, and other honored guests, I hope you'll pardon me for reading my speech, but you see, I have to. Otherwise, how will I know what I'm through? Anyway, I'll just call you girls because I hardly know you well enough to call you ladies. So, girls, please don't expect me to tell you why I'll be the best president we ever had. There are too many obvious reasons why, and anyway, I'm too modest. It wouldn't be good to talk about politics either. I'm afraid you women couldn't agree with my opinions any more than you can with your own. And I certainly can't talk about the other candidates with so many of their wives here. There's no sense about talking about clothes because none of us can buy any till the campaign expenses are paid for. And as far as I'm concerned, I can't even charge them till I find out whether I'm going to be elected or working for a living. So I guess I'll just have to wind up talking about men. Why they should be repealed. Now, don't think I'm panning the men, but it's time we had a woman president. Millions of people tell me that. Well, maybe not millions, but thousands, maybe hundreds. At least my sister Betsy told me that. So what's my opinion against millions of people? So, of course, I... won't be the first woman president. I'll be the first woman who's president officially. That's all. Now, we've been having unofficial women presidents ever since Martha Washington let George take all the credit. And in those days, there wasn't any Seattle to fly to, so she just ran a candy shop on the side. where was I? Oh, yes. It's time we girls get together and go places. And why shouldn't we do our backseat driving from the front seat? Why are men the only ones who can get suits with two pairs of slacks? Because it's a man's world, that's why.
Right.
Why, just the other day in Hollywood, a Scotchman got in. He was in kilts and he got on a streetcar, and an old lady in riding pants got up and gave him her seat. That's what this man's world is doing to us. But on the other hand, women will admit men on a total loss. Why shouldn't we? We're just as broad-minded as men, no matter how stubborn and narrow they are. Why, I'll be the first to give a man credit when he's done something really big, no matter how small it is. Even a man who gets to be president is surprised. His mother knows he'll be president before he's born, but he's never sure of it until he hears from Mr. Farley. And to show you this is a man's world, just before dinner, Mrs. Burton Wheeler was telling me about her husband. On top of all his campaign worries, his chickens are a big problem. She says Mr. Wheeler's rooster has been lying awake nights trying to figure a way to produce better eggs and more of them. Then in the daytime, the rooster is so tired, the hens have to wake him up to crow about the eggs that they have laid. But our day is coming, we hope. Women in all walks of life know what time it is, even if they're a little late in getting there. And you wives know what's going on, even if you can't prove it. And, oh, it would be wonderful if men and women could play 50-50. But how can they? Half the time, the men think they're right. Now, why can't men and women be as friendly to each other as women are? Take two women. There you've got the most beautiful friendship in the world as soon as they find out they both hate the same girlfriend. And that friendship can't be broken till they find out they both like the same boyfriend. But I guess it's our own fault. We spoil men. We shouldn't say men are just grown-up boys. It's bad for the men and very discouraging for the boys. On the other hand, how can you resist a man who does sweet, considerate little things for you? Like Mrs. Dewey told me about her husband. Only last month, while she was carrying his armchair over to the window, she dropped her handkerchief and he picked it up for her. Now, you know, it's things like that that make men worth living. So, in conclusion, girls, I can't actually promise that electing me will make men any better, but don't forget this. The most annoying thing about men is that they're so hard to catch. So, girls, with me in the White House, you'll at least know where to look for them. Thank you. So, you see, George, that's what happened.
Hey, that was a good speech. How did they like it?
How did they like it? Well, I've never seen waitresses more excited.
Waitresses? What about those important women?
Oh, they'd gone home.
You mean you made the speech after they left?
Well, you know me, George. I'm strictly an after-dinner speaker.
Well, that's all I want.
Thank you.
Telephone, Omaha's calling.
You better hurry. It's a long distance.
Oh, no, it isn't. The phone is right out here in the hall. I'll be right back.
Did I hear correctly? Was that a call from Omaha?
Well, it might have been, George, but we thought we were playing Woods Could I Kiss Thy Hand, Oh Babe.
And I thought it was Dipsy Doodle without the dips.
Oh, by the way, George, I may not be at rehearsal next Tuesday. You see, I'm taking swimming lessons.
Swimming lessons?
Yes. Well, you see, old boy, it'd be quite embarrassing for the Secretary of the Navy to be drowning all the time.
Don't worry about that, Ray. The fish will always throw you back.
Yes, and Ray, while you're down there, don't forget to call up Blue Point, 9908.
Who's that?
Minnie the Mermaid.
And if a man answers, it's Johnny Weissmuller.
You know, when Grace's president goes out fishing, I'm going to supply her with a submarine.
What's that, to keep the sun out of her eyes?
No, that's so she can see whether the bait is still on the hook.
I wonder who could be calling Gracie in Omaha.
Me too, George. I'd give the 25-cent bottle to know.
Well, I say, George, can a person get vaccinated against seasickness?
Yeah, but only on his father's side.
Why, Ray, don't you know that seasickness is nothing to worry about? Well, you know what hiccups are.
Yes, Frank.
Well, it's the same thing with bumps.
Look, let's drop the whole thing and not even talk about the Navy.
You mean goodbye, Mr. Ship?
Yeah, goodbye. Secretary of the Navy, taking swimming.
Oh, Gracie, who phoned you from Omaha?
Oh, I was talking to Dan, and I said to
Dan?
Him...
Dan?
Yes, and I said to him...
Who's Dan?
Dan Butler, mayor of Omaha. And I said to
the
him...
The mayor of Omaha?
Well, sure, every city has a mayor, you know.
Oh, thanks.
And they want me to hold my surprise party convention there in May.
You mean to say the people from Omaha actually want you to hold a convention there?
That's what Dan Butler said.
Have the people gone out of their minds?
Yes, but they'll be back in time for my convention.
St. Clair Lewis says it can't happen here.
Oh, it's got to be more fun. Union Pacific is going to have a special train for me. The mayor is having a special key to the city made for me. The businessmen are going to have torchlight parades for me. And the people have street dances for me. Oh, there'll be about 300,000 visitors there to cheer for me. And my sister Bessie's going to be there.
Bessie?
Well, she's going to vote for me.
Well, then you can't lose.
Hello, Press.
Oh, hello, Bubbles. What's new since I've been gone?
Oh, nothing much. But when I was crossing Vine Street the other day, I was hit by a truck.
Hurt?
Yes, but they'll be able to get it fixed.
Well, that's a load off my mind. Come in.
Pardon me, is Miss Allen in?
I'm Miss Allen.
Oh, Miss Allen, I met you in Washington last week.
Oh, I remember you. Congressman Boone.
No.
Senator Hatch?
No.
Oh, well, I give up. Who are you?
The good humor man. You forgot your chain.
Oh, isn't he honest?
And she's running for president.
Say, Gracie, he's got pretty eyes.
Say, if you think his eyes are pretty, you should taste his orange sherbet.
Well, tell me about the banquet, Gracie. What were the candidates' wives wearing?
Well, I couldn't tell. They all had big signs in front of their dresses.
Signs?
Yes, saying, vote for my husband.
And, Gracie, what did you wear?
Well, it was very formal, so I wore that evening gown with a champagne stain.
With a champagne stain?
Yes.
What was it, Mums, 1928?
No, Bessie's, 1395.
That's the Beer Barrel Polka Dot dress.
Yes.
Oh, it must have been a thrill meeting and talking to those famous women at the banquet.
Oh, it was. I had the nicest conversation with a congressman's wife, and she was telling me about her children, and I kept asking her to pass the salt.
Well, that was a smart piece of conversation.
Yeah, well, I had to ask her six times. Even those congressmen's wives won't pass anything.
Bubbles, I've got a little news for you. Gracie is holding her surprise party convention in Omaha.
I love Omaha. I lost 3 pounds there.
Is that so? Is it definitely settled, Gracie, that we're going to Omaha?
Oh, sure, Ray.
Well, then I'd better go home and start shaving.
Shaving? The convention isn't for 2 months. Is it going to take you that long to shave?
Oh, maybe longer, George. There's no blade in my razor, you see.
Oh. Well, you know that old saying, Ray. You can't get blade out of a turnip. Oh. How do you like that, Frank?
Anchor.
Anchor?
It sinks.
It does.
Say, Gracie, on that trip to Omaha, do you mind taking my mother-in-law?
Well, not at all, Truman.
But thanks. My wife and I'd like to be alone for a while.
We're not going to Omaha for 2 months, and everybody's getting ready.
So is Laura.
Who is Laura?
My kangaroo.
Your kangaroo? The one you're using,
Body emblem. Yes, that's right.
Mm. Don't tell me a kangaroo is going to Omaha with you.
Well, she's home right now, packing her bag.
She is, huh?
George wants me to do my campaign song again on account of he sings the chorus in it. Vote for Gracie, vote for Gracie. She's the best little skipper in the land. Vote for Gracie, vote for Gracie. Won't you please give this little girl a hand at me? Even big politicians don't know what to do. Gracie doesn't know either, but neither do you. So vote for Gracie to win the presidential race. 100 million strong, that's right, you can't go wrong. Vote for Gracie, keep voting all day long.
Keep voting all day long. Keep voting all day long.
Well, hey, would you like to hear Frank Parker sing my song?
Oh, Gracie! Oh, Figaro! Oh, Gracie! It's awfully high, don't you know? I'm for Gracie. To leave the boys and Mary Casey.
100 million votes!
That's right, you can't go wrong. Vote for Gracie. Keep voting all day long. All right, Judge, here's what you've been waiting for.
Oh, vote for Gracie, so I can be by myself. Please vote for Gracie, so I'll be happy on the shelf. If she's elected,
well,
I'll be neglected. And I can stay home and play solitaire and keep that silly game out of my head.
Now let's have Truman Bradley take the stand.
Why don't you be like Gracie? Be fair to yourself. Keep Heinz Honey and Almond right there on your shelf.
Goodbye to Chapman.
Let's get together now and clap hands.
And for a thrill and do, we'll tell you what to do. Vote for Gracie, and she'll shake hands with you. Vote for Gracie, yes, yes. Vote for Gracie, yes, yes.
If the country's going, Gracie, so can you.
Hey! Vote, 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 vote.
Uncle Sam, let me paddle your canoe. I'm just like Joan of Arc, I hear destiny call. It's the call to the ballpark to throw out the ball.
Throw up for Gracie, to win the presidential race. 100 million strong, that's right, you can't go wrong. Vote for Gracie.
Isn't this thrilling?
Keep voting all day long.
Would you like a copy of Gracie's campaign song, Vote for Gracie? Yes, I mean the actual sheet music, complete with lyrics and verses. Well, here's how you can get a copy of this song. Just write your name and address on the back of a Heinz Honey and Almond Cream carton, that 25, 50-cent or dollar-size carton, or 2 10-cent-size cartons, and mail it to Gracie Allen, Hollywood, California. That's all. Then in a few days, you'll receive your copy of Gracie's campaign song, Vote for Gracie. Oh, I almost forgot. This sheet music has a swell picture of Gracie on the cover, too, which shows how sweet and lovable Gracie really is in person. You can get Heinz Honey and Almond Cream at any toilet goods counter. You'll find every creamy drop of this quick comfort lotion helps ease away that rough, sandpapery look, coaxes back a smoother, more comfortable feeling to your hands. So get a bottle of Heinz tonight and use it faithfully for softer, prettier hands. And remember, write your name and address on the back of the carton and send it to Gracie Allen, Hollywood,
and you'll get your own copy of Gracie's great campaign song, Vote for Gracie.
Thanks, Truman. Well, Gracie, say goodnight.
Well, good night. And when I'm in the White House, you're all invited to come and have tea with me. But don't forget to bring your own lemon, as I'm cutting down on the budget, you know.
Good night.
Have you tried the new hand cream in jars made by the makers of the famous Heinz Honey and Almond Cream?
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Until 1942, they never mentioned the fact that George and Gracie were a married couple, and then they started the sitcom format that would be popular through their television career as well, although in this early show they still have musical numbers. In this episode, Gracie is conned out of $10 by a man who sells her a love potion. Enjoy Burns and Allen, first broadcast June 22, 1943, on CBS.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than finest Castiles. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, Jimmy Cash, Paul Whiteman and his music, and the Swan Ted, who open our show with I Dug a Ditch.
I dug a ditch, I dug a ditch, and struck it rich in Wichita. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yay, I made it pay in Wichita. Oh, I could keep on dig, dig, digging like I've been digging before, but now I'm feeling so hot diggity, I want something more. I've got an itch to leave that ditch. I want to go back to Marie, who stuck to me before. I dug a ditch and struck it rich in Wichita. I've got an itch to leave that ditch. I want to go back to Marie, who stuck to me before. I dug a ditch and struck it rich in Wichita.
And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Here they are. Well, it's early afternoon in the library of the Burns home, where George and Gracie are quietly reading. Gracie finishes the last page of her book and puts it aside.
Oh, George, that was beautiful.
Huh? What'd you say?
I said it was beautiful.
Well, you can't buy it. You've got enough hats.
Well, I'm not talking about hats. It's this book I just finished reading. I think it's the best thing ever written by Mary Roberts Rumpelmeyer.
Mary Roberts Rumpelmeyer?
That's right.
Well, I never read any of her stuff. What's she got on the ball?
Everything. There just aren't any better books than Love in Latvia. That's about a pure young American girl who wins a haughty Latvian nobleman. Or Desire in Denmark. That's about a pure young American girl who wins a haughty Danish nobleman. Or Rapture in Russia. That's about a pure young American girl
who wins a haughty Russian nobleman.
I thought you'd never read any of her books.
Well, I just had a hunch about that one. Now, I'm reading two, and if you don't mind, Gracie,
oh,
I would...
Oh, but great as those books were, they can't equal a new one. Passion in Pundagaba.
Passion in where?
Pundagaba, a country in India.
Pundagaba.
It's about a haughty Indian prince whose father leaves him a harem of 250 wives, but the prince is a woman hater.
He is, huh?
Yeah. So he gives away 50 of the wives.
That only leaves him 200 to hate.
Yeah. Then along comes this pure young American girl, and in spite of the prince's gold and money and jewels, she wants to marry him.
Greater love hath no babe.
Yes, but the prince doesn't love her, so she drops a secret love potion in his coffee, and he proposes, she accepts, and they spend their honeymoon on top of an elephant.
That's the worst piece of tripe I ever heard.
Why, George, it's beautiful.
It's awful. Why don't you read something that's intelligent and might improve your mind?
What are you reading?
Cowboy love tales.
I don't care. I still think Mary Roberts Rumpelmeyer is... Say,
say, if I could find a love potion for Tootsie Sagwell, she could get a husband.
Gracie, that dame couldn't get a husband with a Mickey Finn.
George, that's not nice.
Why do you waste your time on her, Gracie? She's homely and skinny and...
You just refuse to see her good points. I'll admit she only weighs 76 pounds, but she's 6'3" tall.
Take my advice and forget Tootsie and forget the love potion.
Hi, people.
Oh, hello, Bill. You're just in time for Gracie's latest brainstorm.
It's not a brainstorm, Bill. It's a problem. I want to get a love potion that Tootsie could drop in a man's coffee.
Oh, well, gee, that is a problem. Where could you find coffee?
Bill, I've been trying to tell Gracie that love potions are... They're a lot of hooey.
Oh, and he's right, Gracie. Love potions can't help you unless you've got that certain something. Call it oomph, call it it. Some people have got it, some people haven't got it.
Hmm. Have I got it, Bill?
Oh, sure, Gracie.
Oh, thank you. You've got it too, Bill.
Oh, thanks.
Ain't misbehaving at all.
Yes, as I said, Gracie, some people just haven't got it.
Thanks, kid.
Look what happened to me last Sunday down at the beach. I started for the locker to take my shower, and the women mobbed me.
Oh, brother.
Well, Bill, the women saw you had it.
Oh, sure, I had two cakes of it. And they wanted one.
Two cakes of it?
Yeah, Swan, the new white floating soap. You see, Swan's not only swell for a shower or for your hands and face, but it's great for bathing the baby. And just the soap for your dishes and your light laundry. 4 grand soaps in one.
Well, what happened, Bill? Did the women take the Swan soap away from you?
After a delightful struggle. But there wasn't enough to go around even after I broke it in two. One cute little redhead had to go home empty-handed.
Aww.
Well, not exactly empty-handed. She took me. Yes, and we would have had a lot of fun if her mother hadn't been home.
Oh, her mother spoiled the fun, huh?
Yeah, she washed the dishes. That's what I wanted to do. You know how wonderful Swan is for washing the dishes and for laundering fine things, Gracie. You know how fast all-purpose Swan gives you scads of suds. Suds that are so mild and baby gentle, they actually help keep your hands beautiful. Help keep them soft and lovely.
Oh, my goodness, Bill. I'm going right out to the kitchen and see if I have plenty of Swan soap. I don't want to miss the fun of doing the dishes tonight.
Enjoy yourself, dear. People can't say I don't show my wife a good time. Come in.
Well, greetings, friend Burns, and you too, friend Goodwin.
Well, the pool hall hamlet.
What's up, cue ball? I suppose you want to put the bite on me for a 5-spot, huh?
Sir, do you take me for a common beggar? Do you dream that I would humble my pride to borrow $5 from you?
And what do you want?
$10.
I thought so. Nothing doing, cue ball.
Oh, gad, but you're a beast, sir. A beast. Friend Goodwin.
No use, cue ball. I'm a beast, too.
Mr. Goodwin, would you let a mere $10 ruin our friendship?
Well, not necessarily. I'd let almost anything ruin it.
Oh, it isn't for myself that I need this paltry sum. Mr. Burns, it's for a little old lady that I know. It may be only $10 to you, but without it, I fear that this poor little old lady will do something desperate.
You mean?
Yes. She will eject me from her boarding house.
You're not getting the money out of me, cue ball, and that's final.
Well, look who's here. Mr. Bolingbroke.
Oh, why, my dear, dear Mrs. Burns. Never have I seen you look so ravishing, so completely...
Don't waste your time, cue ball. She's a beast, too.
Why, George, that's not nice.
But it saves you money. Come on, Bill, let's go down to the corner. I want to pick up a few cigars.
Oh, so that's how you get them. So long, Gracie.
Oh, goodbye, boys. Mr. Bolingbroke, you might be able to help me with a problem I've got. Do you know where I can get a love potion?
A love potion? Gad, don't tell me your husband has forgotten upon which side his bread is buttered.
Oh, no, it's not for me. Naturally, I've never had to use a love potion to attract men. You see, when I was a very small girl, I learned to wink with either eye.
Valuable social grace.
Yeah, and it was fun, too. But this love potion is for my girlfriend. Do you know where I could get one?
Oh, my dear, love potions are merely a myth created by the greedy to profit from the gullible. They are all utterly worthless.
Oh, really? And I was going to pay as much as $10 for one.
As I say, they are all utterly worthless, except the one I've got.
Have you got one?
Oh, indeed I have, you fortunate creature. Given me by an oriental potentate. 1 ounce will transform cold indifference into flaming desire.
Oh, wonderful. My girlfriend could use about 5 pounds of it.
Splendid, splendid. You shall have it within the hour. I wonder if I might trouble you for the $10 now.
Well, of course. Here you are.
Thank you. Lovely bit of engraving, isn't it?
Well, I really can't thank you enough, Mr. Bolingbroke. You may not know it, but you saved a girl's life.
Oh, that's quite all right, Mrs. Burns. You may not know it, but you've saved a man's home. Good day.
Good day.
This is Paul Whiteman. Here's a really charming tune that looks like it's going places. It's called Poinciana.
Get a grip on yourself.
I'm tired of getting a grip on myself. I want to get a grip on a man. Where's the love potion?
Well, this is it right in this can. It's just a powder. But I hear only 1 ounce will make a man want to kiss you and kiss you.
You say Mr. Bolingbroke got it from an oriental potentate?
Well, I guess he was even bigger than a potentate.
Really?
Oh, sure. Well, look what it says on the can. He was a bicarbonate.
Ooh, I just can't wait to try it out. What time does the next bus leave for the Navy Yard?
That isn't the way to use it.
No?
No. Pick out one man you'd like to marry, and we'll give it to him.
Well, let's see. How about Alan Ladd?
Oh, Alan Ladd. Tootsie, you don't want to rob the cradle.
I do if Alan Ladd's in it.
Well, I think you'd better take someone more mature. How about Victor?
Oh, I love Victor Mature.
Oh, I know just the husband for you. How do you like Humphrey Bogart?
Oh, I'm mad about the boy. Oh, how I loved him in action in the North Atlantic.
Yeah. Hey, if he puts his arms around you, there'll be action in Beverly Hills.
yes. But he's so tough, I don't think we could get him to swallow the potion.
Oh, that is a problem. Say, I know how we could get Charles Boyer to swallow some.
How?
Put it on Irene Dunn's neck.
But then he'd fall for her.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. What about Walter Pigeon?
Don't even ask. Just give it to him.
You know, Tootsie, your husband doesn't necessarily have to be an actor. I'm very happy with George.
Well, I kind of like actors. Oh, my, it's so hard to decide. Alan Ladd, Humphrey Bogart, Charles Boyer, Walter Pigeon.
Would you rather have a nice butcher?
No, I think one of those will do.
See, we're not even absolutely certain this love potion will work. Maybe we ought to try it out first, huh?
That's a wonderful idea, Gracie. Who can we try it on?
Well, I... Oh, it's my precious little ducky.
Gracie, why don't we try a dose of the you-know-what potion on Herman?
Oh, well, that's silly. He's too young to know anything about you-know-what. Oh, I'm sure he's never you-know-whated.
Maybe he's smarter than you think.
Well, I'll find out. Herman, let's have a little game. Now, suppose you were out in the yard playing with your rubber fish.
Uh-huh.
And a little girl duck came in and sat down beside you.
Uh-huh.
You'd just keep on playing with your rubber fish, wouldn't you? Herman. Oh, I was wrong, Tootsie. He's old enough. Herman, here, eat some of this. It's very nice. That's a good boy. Well, how do you feel, baby? My goodness, that's a funny effect.
Yes, love has made me hysterical, but it never gave me the hiccups.
Now we can find out how strong the potion is. I'll call George. Oh, George, would you come in here a minute?
What is it, sweetheart?
Well, I want you to stand there and say, do you love me, Herman?
Are you kidding? That silly duck
is... Oh, please, George, say it for me.
Oh, all right. Do you love me, Herman?
Well, that's that. Run along, Herman.
Yeah, run along before I kick you in the giblets. Go on, beat it. Go on.
Well, dear, you can run along, too.
Would you mind telling me what this was all about?
Yes, I would. Goodbye, dear.
This is the silliest house I've ever...
Oh, well, the potion didn't work on Herman. It's lucky you don't want to marry a duck.
Well, we just got to try it out on a man. Who in the world could we get?
I'll go.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, Tootsie, look, a man.
Oh, God. Gee whiz, what's all the excitement? I realize Miss Sagwell isn't used to having a man around, but you, Mrs. Burns, you... Well, I guess you're not either.
I'm listening for him, Gracie.
Oh, good. Mr. Postman, we're going to give you a little drink.
Oh, Mrs. Burns, I never touch the stuff. A stimulant is superfluous for a man with my pep and energy.
Here it is, Gracie.
Well, it's only a soft drink, Mr. Postman.
Oh, well, in that case, happy days.
Well, did you like it?
Quite refreshing, Mrs. Burns. As a matter of fact, it tasted like... pardon me. Soda.
Well, it wasn't. That was a love potion. We're testing it on you to see if it works.
On me? That's very amusing.
What's so funny, Mr. Postman?
A love potion won't work on me.
Why?
Because I'm already the world's most rapturous lover.
Oh, Tootsie, we picked the wrong man.
Yes.
Well, thanks anyway, Mr. Postman.
Oh, that's all right. Goodbye, Mrs. Burns. And remember, keep smiling.
Thank you.
Jimmy Cash comes up with a mighty pretty contender for the all-time long title. You rhyme with everything that's beautiful.
On the postman because he's already a great lover.
Well, maybe we should try it on somebody who's just the opposite.
That's it. I wonder if George is still home.
But how will you get George to swallow it?
Oh, well, I'll get him to take a drink of something and slip it into the drink when he isn't looking.
Oh, Gracie, you're wonderful. You're even going to give your own husband a love potion for me.
Well, to tell the truth, Tootsie, it isn't altogether for you.
Well, while you're trying it on, George, I'll phone Bill Goodwin to come over.
Bill Goodwin?
Yes. If the love potion works and you and George start snuggling, I want to have somebody to fall back on.
Well, if you want someone to fall back on, call Paul Wiseman. He's softier and roomier.
No, I'll call Bill.
All right. And I'll get George to take a drink and then slip the love potion in it. Sweetheart.
Yeah?
Oh, you look hot. How about a nice glass of ice-cold water?
No, thanks.
Well, it would taste wonderful on a hot day like this.
Cold drinks aren't good for you on a hot day.
Oh. Well, how about a nice glass of hot water?
Don't be silly.
Would you like a glass of ginger ale?
No.
Root beer?
No.
7-Up?
Gracie, what are you up to?
Coca-Cola. Have some?
No, now, don't bother me.
A glass of milk, maybe.
Look, I don't want to drink a glass of anything.
Well, I could put it in a saucer and let you lap it up.
Gracie, are you trying to talk me into something?
No, I'm trying to talk something into you.
Gracie, try to understand. I'm not thirsty.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
Oh, George, picture yourself out on the desert. You've been walking for miles. The sun is blistering. There's sand in your mouth. And on you walk in that terrible heat. Now, how do you feel?
My feet hurt.
Dear, I guess I didn't get enough sand in your mouth.
Gracie, will you please explain what this is all about?
Well, of course, dear. Let's discuss it over a bottle of celery time.
Oh, stop. Why all this talk about something to drink? You'd think I was out in a dust bowl without a drop of water. Dust filling my lungs, choking me. Half crazed from thirst. Wandering around in the... Wait a minute, I think I will have a drink.
Oh, that's fine, dear. I'll be back in a second.
Hurry up, will you? This thirst is killing me.
Coming, dear.
Oh, water. I must have water.
Here, dear. Nice, cold glass of sauerkraut juice.
Let's have it. Say, what's this white powder in the bottom?
That's sauerkraut.
Well, here goes.
Now, don't drink too much of it, George. You're not as young as you used to be.
Gee, that was good.
Well, do you feel any different, dear?
Different? No.
Well, do you love me more than you ever did?
You know I do.
Well, I can't tell if that came from the heart or a little further down.
Huh?
Oh, excuse me, dear.
Well, did it work, Gracie?
Oh, gee, I don't know, Tootsie.
Hello, girls. Why'd you send for me?
Oh, here, Bill, drink this.
Huh?
Drink it. Tootsie fixed it for you.
Tootsie? Well, okay. Tootsie, here's how.
She just wants to know when.
Ooh, that tasted like soda.
Oh, that was a love potion.
Love potion?
Yeah. Oh, Tootsie, he drank it. Now he'll fall in love with you.
Swan, the new white floating soap. That's 4 swell soaps in one. The soap for dishes or for light laundry.
Tootsie, what are you doing?
This time I'm helping the potion along. Swan, the wonderful baby soap. The perfect complexion soap. 4 soaps in one.
Look, Tootsie. Bill's getting a wild look on his face.
Tootsie, it's happened. I didn't think it was possible, but it's happened.
What, Bill? What?
I love Swan even more than I used to.
Open my big mouth.
Oh, Swan, it's so wonderful for bathing the baby. Swan is so mild and sudsy. Swan is purer than finest Castiles. Swan is so kind to a baby's tender skin. And because it's so mild and gentle, Swan's not only great for baby, it's great for anybody's hands and face, tub or shower.
Bill, if you love Swan soap, you ought to love me. I can do anything Swan can do. Wash the dishes, bathe the baby.
Say, I believe you're right, Tootsie. And I know you'd break in two with a twist of the wrist.
Yeah. And she's long enough so you could put half of her in the bathroom and half in the kitchen.
Yeah. So I'll slip into a cool green wrapper and let's get married.
Gee, I believe the love potion really is working. Yeah, Tootsie, let's get married.
You mean it, Bill?
Sure, right away. Get the preacher. Get the license. Hurry up. Stop.
What happened?
It wore off. Goodbye.
That love potion's no good. Now I'll never get married.
Well, don't be upset, Tootsie. So far, we've only tried it on ducks and men.
What's Tootsie bawling about?
Well, Mr. Bolingbroke sold us a love potion.
Bolingbroke? Gracie, that potion is a phony.
It is not. Mr. Bolingbroke said that whenever Betty Grable works at the canteen, she slips it into the soldier's coffee.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah? Then why do all the soldiers look at her that way?
Look, get on the phone and get that Bolingbroke over here. I'll fix that pool room chiseler and take care of Tootsie at the same time.
You wish to see me, Friendbone?
Yes, I do, Cueball. I mixed you a drink of that phony love potion you sold my wife. And if it doesn't work, you go to jail.
Jail?
Yes. Drink it.
Why, of course, certainly. Well, bottoms up.
Oh, look, Georgie has a secret method. Before he drinks it, he blows the foam off the top.
Yes, it's an old Oriental trick.
Well, that was delicious. Yes, and it's working. It's working. I love you, Burns. Well, goodbye.
Come back here. Come back here. Look, Cueball, it's not me. There's a girl in the next room I want you to be in love with. And remember, no love and you go to jail.
Sir, the potion never fails. Come forth, girl of my dreams. Come forth and nestle within my eager arms.
Here I am.
Mr. Burns.
Yes?
You may summon the cops.
Well, folks, I'm just going to take a second to tell you why Swan is such a great wartime buy. Swan is purer than finest Castiles and a suds and whiz even in the hardest water. That's why it's really 4 great soaps in one. Grand soap for your bath and complexion, for baby's bath, for light laundry, and to help protect your hands when you do the dishes. Yes, ma'am, no need to buy expensive toilet soaps, special baby soaps, or easily wasted package soaps when you use Swan, the soap that's really 4 great soaps in one. The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in to your CBS station again next week, same time. Remember, George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS next Tuesday night. Don't forget to listen to Swan's other show, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou, next Friday night over another network. And now till next week, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.